Turn, if you will, to Psalm 78. It's a pleasure to be back with the dear church here and with preacher friends. I haven't had a cup of coffee, so if I have a stroke during the sermon, you'll understand why. Before we read, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we look to you today. We ask that you'd help your servant as I speak. Help each one that listens. And may none of us leave your house without having received something spiritually from your word. We ask especially that you'd look down in mercy on those that do not know Christ. Speak to the young especially. Forgive us of our sins and meet with us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, when we have heard, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known unto their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I was accused last night of taking the text that I was given and then preaching on whatever I want to. And I'm somewhat guilty. But I'd like to handle this text in my own way today by going to the Bible subject of wisdom. I'd like to first speak to the young people on the subject of wisdom. The first thing I'd like to say is that wisdom exists. That might seem like something that doesn't need to be said. The Bible says in Proverbs 2 and verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." When we say that wisdom exists, what we mean is that we live in a generation, think of existentialism and postmodernism, and you have these ideas that there's my truth and your truth, and the ideas that whatever you believe, if it works for you, that's fine. In other words, there's really no such thing as wisdom. But I assure you that wisdom exists. There are those that waste their life and those that have a profitable life. There are those that are lost for eternity and those who live eternally with Jesus Christ. There are those that are happy and those that have brought misery into their life. And so there is such a thing as real wisdom. Real wisdom, however, is a spiritual matter, not an intellectual matter. I'm not criticizing the intellectual. I'm not criticizing education. But in the book of Job, we read Job 28:28, "Unto man he saith, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." And it must be understood that wisdom is not education. Wisdom is a relationship with God. Wisdom is knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. And wisdom is the fear of the Lord. In other words, it's not your head, it's your heart. Now, we are to be students of the Scripture. Any knowledge can be turned to profit, but wisdom is a spiritual matter. Another thing we want to say is that wisdom is evangelistic. In Proverbs 8, verse 1 through 5, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." When we say that wisdom is evangelistic, what we mean, you, for instance, go to Hollywood, and they'll go over to the Himalayas and study under some saffron-robed priest, and they believe that wisdom is a mystery, that it's hidden somewhere. I remember hearing that Madonna was a student of the mysterious study of the Old Testament, and I forget the exact term that's used to describe it, but wisdom is an evangelist. It's not hid away in the Himalayas, but it cries out. Your pastor, your children, go into a store and buy a Bible. In other words, wisdom cries, and it's not something that has to be hunted down. It's something that we find because our heart is open. Wisdom has value. If there's anything I want for my children, it's that they might have wisdom. Listen to what the Scripture says. Proverbs 2, verse 10 and 11. "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee." So wisdom is a protection for those who have it. In Proverbs 4, verse 1 through 13, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of thy mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forsake it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." And so, what great value wisdom has for us. In Proverbs 3 and verse 13, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her." And so wisdom has great value. There's nothing that you can possess that is as valuable as wisdom. If you had Genie's lamp, you would not be as well off as the person that has wisdom. I wish I had time to read more scripture. I'm already probably reading too much. But in 1 Kings chapter 3, you have David's lesser son, Solomon. And Solomon went up to Gibeon. He was to build the Lord a house. And when he was in Gibeon, the Lord came to him and said, what would you like? In other words, rub the magic lamp. What do you want? And Solomon said, Lord, I'm just a child. I don't know how to come in or go out. And here I've got this great task of building your house and leading your people. He said, Lord, give me wisdom. And that pleased the Lord. And here's the thing I want you to notice. God came to him and said, not only am I going to give you what you asked for, I'm going to give you the things you didn't ask for. When you get wisdom, you get it all. You get what you ask, and you get what you didn't ask for. He didn't ask for a long life, but God gave him eternal life. And he didn't ask for happiness, but God gave him that. And so wisdom has value. Now, wisdom has a price. What does it cost? One of the things that aggravates me is how they run children into debt. College tuition, it's gotten more and more expensive. When I was in the University of Cincinnati, they were on the quarter system. And every quarter, it cost $333 for tuition and $100 for books. We say, well, it sure was cheap back then. Well, I made $1.45 an hour, so it wasn't as cheap as it seems, but you didn't come out of school in debt. But what is the price of wisdom? I wish I had time to read this entire chapter. But Job 28 and verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place thereof of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir and with the precious onyx or sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And for the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or pearls or the price, for the price of wisdom is far above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it. Neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air? Well, the thing that we see is that wisdom, while it has great value, it also has a high price. And what is that price? Here's the price. You have to really want it. No dollar amount, no jewels. You just have to really want it. Proverbs 2, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searcheth for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. In other words, what are we told here? When you look for wisdom like you would silver. You know, a man back during the gold rush, he would sell everything and buy a sled or a boat or whatever he needed to get where he was going. And he would maybe go into the far north where it was cold, buy dogs, go off into the wilderness, risking his very life. And he would scrape among the rocks and pan among the streams. And the wise man said, when you want wisdom that bad, that's how you achieve it. That's where it comes from. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberty to all men, and let me get that correct. James 1. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When we say, we talk about the price of wisdom, and we talk about really wanting it, here's the thing. The reason the average person doesn't have wisdom is because it gets in the way of what they want to do. And because they have their plan rather than God's plan. But when we are willing to do His will, Jesus said, we will know of the doctrine, whether it's of God. And so wisdom has a great price, and that price is desire. And then wisdom has an identity. If I had time, I'd love to go to the book of Proverbs and other parts of the Bible and show you that Jesus Christ is wisdom. David had a lesser son, Solomon. He wanted wisdom. But David had a greater son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was wisdom. And he is wisdom. In fact, there are scriptures that say that. And the Bible talks about wisdom being set up from everlasting. And in the Hebrew, that could be translated anointed. So Christ is wisdom. Now, we want to speak a word to the parents. First of all, we have read here of the psalmist wanting wisdom for his children. The test that you are a godly person is your desire of wisdom for your children. Now you say, how do you prove that? Well, let's take Job, for instance. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 1 that there were three things that were true of Job. He was rich, he was happy, and he was holy. Like any good literature, it gives objective illustrations, specific illustrations of these things. When it talks about Job being rich, it gives you the list of his animals. And I remember one time, I'm not that up on what farm animals cost, but I gave to these animals a value that I thought was probably low. But it came out, it made it evident that Job was a very rich man. Then when it talks about Job's happiness, it talks about the domestic happiness that he enjoyed. It talks about his children and how they came together and just seemed like an idyllic situation. But when it talked about Job's holiness, it gave one example. Job prayed for his children. And so, this is the test of our piety. The tools that we have as those who want to see our children fear God are these. Prayer. Job prayed for his children. He offered sacrifices. He came before God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he begged God that he might be merciful to his children. Another way we teach our children is in our daily converse. I've always appreciated the statements in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And when words which I command, and these words which I command me this day shall be in thine heart." Now notice. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. And when thou walkest by the way. And when thou liest down and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. And they shall be frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Now, you notice what we're told there about our children. They learn from us by what's in our heart, because what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. When we sit at the dinner table, when we get up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, we speak of the things of God. I had a precious mother, and she was always talking to us about the things of God. And I remember, for instance, if the question of alcohol came up, she'd talk about her sister who married a drunk. And she would tell us what the outcome of that was and how they suffered and what it did to the family. And it was interesting. She wasn't lecturing us. She was just talking. Just explaining, if you do this, this is where it goes. And so, daily converse. Then, of course, there's a time to teach children, to actually talk to them in a formal way. Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. And so we teach our children. We answer their questions. It's interesting in Exodus 13 and verse 14 that God tells Moses what he's supposed to do. And in Exodus 13 and verse 14, it says, And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? A particular thing that was to be done. And the son would ask, what is this? And thou shalt say unto him. So our children are going to ask us questions. And we need to answer those questions. And then we set up memorials for the things of God. In Joshua 4 and verse 6, when they came over Jordan, they left the 12 stones as a memorial. And God said, your children are going to say, what mean these stones? And so we have tools by which to teach our children. And then we have the house of God. In Proverbs 9 and verse 1, the Bible says, wisdom hath builded her house. In every age, God has had a house. And in this age, it is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And did you ever stop and think what it means for a child to hear an impassioned gospel sermon? What it means for a child and to see a church in unity exclude somebody because of ungodly living? Do you ever think that that leaves a permanent impression on a child? To see Christian people that are serious about the things of God? I think about my parents. They, in some ways, were not as religiously active as some people. But they were always serious. They believed the things of God were serious. There's some people who go to church all the time, but they have a very light attitude. Well, let me give you a testimony. When I was a young person, I came deeply under the conviction of sin. And I floundered around for a long time. I don't mean to be critical, but the church I went to didn't teach anything. I didn't know what the new birth was. It was very shallow. And you'd ask questions and you wouldn't really get Bible answers. And I'm not just being critical, because I'm thankful in a way, because as a pastor that forced me to study, and I hope I'm able, because of that, to be a help to some people today. But it was a long time before I came to assurance of salvation. Well, the Bible says, he that's begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to get into sin and things that are not profitable to be talked about, but as a young person, I was just kind of rowdy. And I thought it was all good fun, but when I say I was rowdy, I don't mean I robbed banks and so on. My mom wouldn't let me rob banks. But but still just kind of rowdy. And even after the Lord saved me, you know, you don't grow all at once. But one day, I lived kind of in the inner city, and I remember this so well. One day I was coming home, kind of wandered the streets a lot for entertainment, and there were two people visiting from a church. As I walked up to my door, they walked up. And this kind of teaches you the value of doing Christian work and that you really never know what comes out of it. So those two men said they were from a church, and I immediately sobered up, I mean mentally, and spoke to them in a respectful manner. They invited me to church. I told them I went to church on Sunday morning at least, and that I was a Christian. After they left, I thought, well, they're serving God. I'm out here messing around. And for some reason, it came into my heart, I'm going to read the Bible. And so I vowed to the Lord that I would read the Bible every day. Well, you know, the Bible, the Word of God is quick and powerful. And I began reading the Bible. And I can remember many of the thoughts that I had then as I came to Scripture, various Scriptures. But every day I'd read the Bible. There were two portions of Scripture that gripped me. The first one was in Proverbs 3. The price of wisdom is far above rubies. And I started thinking about that. And I thought, well, I want wisdom. But I knew that if you were going to receive wisdom, you had to do it God's way. You had to submit to His will. You couldn't be wise and have your own way. But I kept thinking about the price of wisdom is far above rubies. The other verse that really struck me was James chapter 1. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I began to talk to God about that. I said, I want wisdom, but I'm afraid I want my own way too. And I asked God to give me the spiritual strength to yield to Him. And I prayed that He would give me wisdom. You say, well, did you do it? Well, I was raised in Arminian, and after praying, I soon learned the doctrines of grace. Learned other Bible truths. God called me to preach. I'd say the Lord answered. Well, let me close with this exhortation. Get wisdom. You've got a soul. It can be saved and it can be lost. You have a life. You can use it or you can waste it. You can be happy. You can have joy in the Lord or you can be miserable. You can be the servant of Christ or the servant of Satan. You can be wise, you can be a fool. You can live to where you have joy, or you can store up regret. You can end in heaven, you can end in hell. God has children. He doesn't have any grandchildren. Say not, we have Abraham to our father. That means nothing. The children of Christians can go to hell. The children of Baptist preachers can go to hell. You say, I'm homeschooled. Are you taught of God? You say, my mother was a Christian. Are you a Christian? May God help you. I heard somebody say my dad was a Baptist preacher, and when he died, He didn't have anything but an old worn-out body. But he had more to leave them as an inheritance than the rich man. May God grant you the desire for wisdom.